All right, good morning.
So welcome to Student Council Chapel. It is our privilege to lead you guys this morning, and we have opted to lead you guys in hymns. So each of us have picked a hymn that is special to us, and we're going to share a little bit about the history of the hymn and why we picked it. But even thinking about that and thinking about coming into worship, I was reminded of Dr. Dockery when he was here for Spiritual Emphasis Week and talking about how good theology, right theology, should lead to doxology. And we think about this and it's, oh, what a great thing that rhymes. You slap that on your bumper sticker, put that on the back, like, great. And I know some people are like, what does that even mean? Like, right theology should lead to doxology. And when you think about it, he was talking about it should integrate into our thoughts, our mind, our heart, and our hands. And they shouldn't be separated, but they should all be together. And for you Greek scholars out there, doxa means glory. And it's not about our glory, it's about God's glory. And there's a quote from Max Lucado that I really liked. And it says, God does not exist to make a big deal out of us. We exist to make a big deal out of him. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about him and his glory. So as we enter into worship today, I ask that you guys think about those things and think about, just entering into God's presence and glorifying him, because it's not about us. Sometimes we like to think about, oh, it's about how I feel during worship. It's about my emotions. I like the way the song makes me feel. Yes, I believe that worship can lead to emotional response, but that shouldn't be the way that shouldn't be the reason why we worship. It's because God is who he is, and he is great. So let me pray before we start. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this time to enter into your presence and to worship you and to glorify you. May you just rid us of distractions or things that are weighing heavy on our hearts this morning. May we just be able to present ourselves as holy and just lift up your name and give you due praise because you're worthy of it and we love you. Pray all these things in your son's name. Amen. Amen. So this first hymn that we are going to sing is It Is Well. And It Is Well was penned by Horatio Spafford back in the 1800s. And this man had a lot of tribulation in his life. And so he, late 1800s, first thing that hit him was the Chicago fire. And he had a lot of property in Chicago, so this was a big financial loss for him. And then later that year, his son died due to illness. And so in 1873, he thought, okay, we're gonna take a family break. We're gonna go over to England. And some work held him back, so he sent his wife and his four daughters ahead of him to go to England. And on the way, their ship ran into another ship, and he lost his four daughters, but his wife survived. And as he made his way over to England and to the spot where he thought that they had crashed, he penned this hymn, It Is Well. And then I'm sure you guys are familiar with it. And as we sing these lyrics, I think this is a man that was not rocked by his circumstances. He had faith in the Lord. And it's easy for us to look at our circumstances, and those are the things that dictate how we feel and how we want to respond to God. But I think it's difficult to say, it is well. Maybe I bombed my Greek exam yesterday. I don't think I did, but but we can easily look at our circumstances, and it's going to dictate how we want to respond to the Lord. But this man, he walked through a lot of things, and he was able to say, it is well with my soul. So join me as we sing this hymn. You guys can stand.
Sorrows like sea below.
Good morning. I'm Jordan Bergen, one of the members of Student Council here, and the hymn I picked was Be Thou My Vision. So, in legend, St. Patrick was given credit for driving the snakes out of Ireland, and in reality, this probably referred to the druids that were in the area, and we've been learning in Dr. Morgan's class about some of those encounters, and often they were very spiritual, like power struggles. But St. Patrick was credited with driving the druids out, those evil, spiritually connected people, and establishing Christianity in Ireland. It began during the Celtic springtime fire festival known as Beltane. The ritual commenced with a ceremonial lighting of the High King's fire, from which all the other fires in the land would be lit. According to legend, St. Patrick lit an Easter fire on a nearby hill. The High King sent 9 chariots to vanquish Patrick and put out his fire. They circled counter to the sun's path, I guess because this was spiritually significant, and they attacked, but they were unable to prevail against the holy fire. And then 3 centuries later, a monk named Dallan Forgaill wrote the Irish poem Rop tu Mobail, Be Thou My Vision, to remember and honor the faith of St. Patrick. Forgaill was martyred by pirates, but his poetry lived on as a part of the Irish monastic tradition for centuries, until in the early 20th century, Mary Elizabeth Byron translated the poem into English, and in 1912, Eleanor Hull versified the text into what is now a well-loved hymn and prayer that at every moment of our lives, God would be our vision above all else. And this hymn has been a continued theme in my life. I had it sung at my wedding. And it's a reminder for me to keep my eyes fixed on Christ, the author and perfecter of my faith. And the words in the verse that we won't be singing today, but be my inheritance now and always, they echo my heart's cry with the psalmist in Psalm 73:25, when he says, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth I desire besides you. And that was also read at our wedding. And that wasn't because I've been supremely good about doing those things. It's because I supremely need the reminder in my life. Because there are many good things about life on earth and, you know, the future life we have to look forward to in heaven. But they all pale in comparison to being with God. So, will you sing with us? Yeah.
So my name is Sarah Iriberry, and I have chosen the song The Old Rugged Cross. So the song was written by a man named Bernard, and when he wrote the song, he was in a moment of a struggle with what the cross meant to him. And one thing that this song was, is I heard, the first time I heard this song was in Spanish at church by my old pastor, Francisco Olad. And every time we had the Lord's Supper, or how some of you call it, communion, I call it Santa Cena. And so he would always sing the song, and it was just a reminder of Christ and what he did for us on that cross. And every Sunday, once a month, it was that constant reminder of what Christ did on the on that cross. But when this man was writing this song, he was like, the last, his chorus, he's like, so I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophy at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for my crown. And when he passed away, this is exactly what he did. And this speaks to me, because sometimes we think heaven, yeah, we're gonna go to heaven, we have Christ, but do we really consider it our home? We're so comfortable in this world and in this hemisphere of earth that we don't really call heaven our home. So as I was reading my devotionals this week, something stood out in Corinthians about calling heaven my home. So as I was listening to the song again, and as he did that, he laid all his trophies and he exchanged it for his crown. He went home. He was happy to go home. So I want to be like Bernard, and I want to be excited to go home. Though we know our life here is temporary, let's think that our life is truly temporary till the day that we actually go home and exchange it for our crown.
Suffering and shame.
So Caleb Smith is a member of Student Council, but he is unable to share this morning. So we got the next best thing, I guess. So
the best thing.
We have Joshua Smith up here to share on his behalf.
Thank you, Adam. All right. So the hymn that Caleb had chosen for today was Jesus Paid It All. The story behind that is one Sunday morning at Alvina Hall, they were sitting in the choir section at her church, Monument Street Methodist Church in Baltimore, Maryland. She wasn't exactly bored with the sermon that the pastor, George Schrick, was preaching. But while he spoke about Jesus, Alvina's mind drifted to what Jesus had done for us and realized that Jesus had truly paid the entire price for our sins. The words to this hymn, Jesus Paid It All, were born that morning, and the only thing that Alvina had to write the words on was the inside cover of her hymn book. Later, when she gave the words to her pastor, she found out that the organist had just written a tune, and both words and tune fit perfectly together. The hymn was published in 1879. This is what it means to Caleb, but actually, I can recognize this for myself. It's the same for me. This song has been one of my favorite for years. It reminds me of the grace Christ Jesus has blessed my life with and how I can do nothing to deserve it. My life is now truly dedicated to him because it is to him I owe everything. I am a child of weakness, and I must rely on the Father to strengthen me to pray and seek his face daily. I get shivers down my spine when I hear the lyrics, and when before the throne I stand in him complete, I lay my trophies down, all down at Jesus' feet. Thank you.
Up to you guys.
My name is Tracy Onley, and I'm also part of Student Council. So the song that I chose, the hymn I chose, is Amazing Grace. It's a Christian hymn written by John Newton in 1773, inspired by his personal experiences as a former slave trader. He was a poet and an Anglican priest in England. Amazing Grace became a popular song in the United States used by Baptist and Methodist preachers as part of their evangelizing, with the message that forgiveness and redemption are possible regardless of sins committed, and that the soul, and that the soul can be delivered from despair through the mercy of God. Sorry, oh my gosh. Amazing Grace is one of the most recognizable songs in the English-speaking world. Personally, oh Lord, the words in this song remain alive and fresh in my heart as I journey with God. Imperfectly living a life that honors God requires much forgiveness and grace for myself and for other people. And this hymn speaks to my heart, knowing that God has brought me through many challenges and will lead me home to Him. It also reminds me that I am not the only one who needs God's grace and forgiveness, and I yearn to see those who are lost become found in the reality of who God says they are. Okay, I'm done.
The hymn that I chose for this morning was "Great Is Thy Faithfulness." This hymn was written by Thomas Kissholm, and he was born in 1866. And he didn't finish high school. He didn't do college. He worked as a school teacher for a number of years, and later worked in the newspaper business. He became a Christian at the age of 27, and at the age of 36, became a pastor for about a year until he had health complications and had to step down. And he ended up being a life insurance agent for the rest of his working life in New Jersey. He was an avid writer in his free time and supposedly wrote over 1,200 poems. And he sent one of those poems to a publishing company, which was "Great Is Thy Faithfulness," at the age of 57. And he's famously said this in retrospect on this poem he wrote. "My income has not been large at any time due to impaired health in the earlier years, which has followed me on until now. Although I must not fail to record here the unfailing faithfulness of a covenant-keeping God, and that He has given me wonderful displays of His providing care, for which I am filled with astonishing gratefulness." The hymn is based on Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 to 23. "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." And it's been described as a hymn for ordinary Christians. And I don't know, I consider myself a pretty ordinary guy. And I guess, unlike It Is Well and these other kinds of hymns, it's not really written out of a particular difficulty or a particular struggle. Rather, the hymn was written by a simple man who understood that God was faithful each and every day and was faithful in both large and small circumstances. This element of simplicity is what draws me to the hymn. If you'd stand with me, let's sing.
So that concludes all the songs that we've chosen for today. And I feel like it was a significant time for a lot of people just being able to, I'm sure a lot of these hymns were favorites for other people in here. And so just an opportunity to come before the Lord and praise him and be mindful of the things that he's done in our life. And I think for me, it was beautiful to be here at the front this morning and seeing you guys on the other side of it. Usually I'm looking this way. And just this picture of corporate worship and being together. And it makes me think of Revelation 4 in the throne room. And you have these creatures, and day and night they never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And this idea that they never stop ceasing praising the Lord. And so we have a lot of time left, before chapel ends, so you guys have free time, I think, to just sit here and reflect, if that's what you'd like to do, to think about maybe a hymn that is significant for you, or even a piece of scripture that is significant for you and that will lead you to come before the Lord and just give thanks this morning. And maybe if you even want to share with your neighbor, this is a hymn that's significant to me or a song that's significant to me, do that. Take this extra time that we have this morning to just present yourself. And so we thank you guys for joining us this morning. It's been a privilege to be up here and lead you guys. Just a few announcements in terms of student council stuff. The Christmas party will be December 6th. That is a Friday night. I know that it coincides with Bow Valley's Christmas production, so I'm sorry if you're involved with that and you cannot make it, but that's just the best night that it works out. There'll be more details to follow in an email blast coming out in the next week or two. Next week, not the next week or two, because it's coming up pretty quick. And then as well, Tracy has organized, is it with, what's the organization?
Operation
Shoebox?
Samaritan's Purse.
So on December 12th, from 7 to 10, Tracy and whoever else, we'll probably get a sign-up sheet with that. Right now there's 10 available spots, but we can get more, just depending on interest, and go and serve our community in that way. But I'm going to pray, and then you guys are dismissed. God, we thank you for who you are and what you've done for us. And thank you for moments just to come before you and quiet ourselves and quiet our spirit and give thanks and praise. It is truly a privilege to come before you and to offer ourselves as living sacrifices. And may our whole lives be worshipful to you. May the rest of this day be something that we can glorify you with and to honor you with. So we thank you for this morning. We thank you for who you are and the way that you love us. Amen.